We're talking with the Center for Law and Justice with Dr. Alice Green, the longtime founder and head of it. And you might have saw a report in the Times Union about the final release of the police report internal about a handling of an incident on March 16th, 2019 involving how the police improperly responded to a party at 523 First Street. It was actually the Center for Law and Justice who gave that report to the Times Union. You had to file in a Freedom of Information request. But Alice, what can you tell us about the incident and what the report showed?
Yes, as you say, the incident happened on March 16th of last year, and it became very clear that the Albany Police Department did not handle that situation very well. People on the street had actually complained about loud parties being conducted at that particular address. And so the police repeatedly went there. Unfortunately, they never learned from each situation how to handle this kind of disturbance. So they ended up, unfortunately, brutalizing the people who were at that address when they came back on March 16th. And so there were a number of failures on the part of the police. So the community became very disturbed by the way the police handled it. So that sort of set off, a series of events in the community.
Now, I understand 8 of the officers already have been facing disciplinary action. One has a criminal charge against them, and 3 are targeted for termination. But the report also said, yes, the police at the scene mishandled the situation, but the supervisory staff at the police department in the city of Albany failed to really, step in and handle the situation because they had known about this ahead of time. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on some of those breakdowns?
Yeah, as I said, they went to this particular address 4 times previous to this in that month. Each time they did not handle it very well. But the report pointed out that there was a number of issues there that should have been addressed. One was the management and supervision of the police officers during the incident. Instead of de-escalating, they really caused the problem to grow. It also pointed out the lack of training. And for instance, some of the officers were using pepper spray, and from the report, it looked like they had not been trained to use pepper spray. Also, there were some false information that was put in reports as a result of the actions there. But our main concern was that the police had an opportunity to use what they claim that they are adept at doing, and that is engaging in community policing. They could have gone to community, identified the problem, and started, try to find solutions to it in a, safer, less brutalizing way.
And, we should point out, if people forget this incident, that, the police fairly brutally beat up a number of the individuals who they identified as being the organizers of the party, but they also widely used pepper spray and otherwise did damage to just individuals who are attending this party. But it does seem a little strange. This took place 15, 16 months ago, and just yes. Now we're getting this report out?
Well, January of this year, we requested the report. We were told that we would receive it by February 16th. That didn't happen, and we waited quite a while. Finally, we decided that we needed to get some help with this, so we filed a Freedom of Information request from the Committee on Open Government. There were a number of delays then as well. So after a couple of delays, and we decided to ask the Committee on Open Government to issue an advisory opinion. And once we did that, the city decided that it should release the report. So they released the report to us about two weeks ago. We're not sure whether we have the total report. It's a 250-page report that we got, but there's some indication that we did not get any of the information related to disciplinary actions on the part of the police. So we're still waiting to see whether that's going to be released. But it did take a long time.
So I'm going to ask you a two-part question because perhaps the answers overlap a bit. One question, and what lessons learned from this particular incident and other instances that should be changed in terms of the operation of the City of Albany Police Department. And second, I also understand you're launching in some community event called Time for Reckoning. So perhaps you could address those two concerns, what the police should be doing to improve, and what's the Time for Reckoning about?
I point to the issue of community policing. We're trying to get the Albany Police Department to really embrace real community policing. What they're doing now, we don't see as community policing. In real community policing, they should be working with the community to identify problems and issues, and then as joint partners working on how to address those problems. So that is not happening. We're also concerned because, as you know, the governor has issued an executive order mandating that police departments across the state start reimagining and redesigning the way they deliver services, policing services. I think that hopefully the department has learned that it has to approach a lot of the situations that they've been dealing with and handling incorrectly in a different way with community input. We want to be involved with that process. I know they have already set up a collaborative group, which we are not a part of, by the way, but we weren't asked to. So I think hopefully community policing, if nothing else, community policing will certainly be embraced by the department, and they will start dealing with a lot of issues through their training, you know, de-escalation types of procedures, as well as looking at systemic racism that exists in the department. One of the things that actually grew out of this whole situation was that the community told us, we did a survey, and they basically said they did not trust the police department, they did not trust the DA's office, that racism was a major factor. So they wanted to do more and to get some response from the government officials, the police department. That didn't happen. So the center tried another way to get that kind of input. We've been doing a series of reports and questions that we've addressed to those government officials, the mayor, the chief, president of the Common Council, and the DA. We've been asking them to respond to a number of issues related to policing and systemic racism. And so what has grown out of all that is a symposium that was planned for the fall. And it was to be a simple a symposium with those officials responding to our questions. But after May 25th, when George Floyd was killed by police and the community reacted to that, things have grown. So our symposium has become much more than a one-day affair. It's now part of a website. It's a growing symposium, a live symposium, where we will have a number of things. We're developing this website, which will include, community conversations about systemic racism. There will be panels of community people and those officials. There will be presentations by experts on the topic of systemic racism. For instance, I did an interview with Robin DiAngelo, who wrote the book White Fright, and there will be other interviews like that. Michael Eric Dyson, we will be talking to him. And we will also involve the community in doing performances on systemic racism. For instance, we have a theater group, we have a poet. So it's a combination, it's a multifaceted symposium. WMHT is involved and will tape some of those panel discussions. So it'll be a lot of different kinds of activities put on the web so that you could always get involved with them and learn from them. We will have resources, especially doing things like books for children on racism and how to talk to your child about racism. So it's a lot of educational materials as well. We're doing this primarily, as I said, with the Writers Institute at SUNY.
And so people want to get more information about the Center for Law and Justice and then also the symposium, what's sort of the appropriate websites they should go to?
Yeah, we have our website. The other one is being launched right now, but CFLJ.org will take you to the center's website. So there'll be, as a matter of fact, all of the questions and responses and commentaries that we've done over the past several months are on our website, along with the report that we did that showed that the community really distrusts the law enforcement. They're all there on our website.
We've been talking to Dr. Alice Green, director of the center, and this has been Mark Dunley for Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.